We'll call the meeting to order and Pat, roll call please.
Carlisle?
Here.
Kubish?
Here.
McClory? Reynolds?
Here.
And I did receive note from John that he would be out of town, so I'd like to excuse him.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same side? Is there anyone here that cares to make a presentation on something other than the agenda? Okay. Any correspondence?
None.
We do need to do approval of minutes from December.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Keep me on task. Is there any additions or corrections to the December 3rd minutes?
Motion to approve.
I'll second it. Any discussion? All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same side? Okay. We'll open the public hearing on a variance request for 234 Ridge Street and ask Pat to give us a brief introduction or a long introduction, whichever he has.
Yeah, sure. I can run through the staff memo and then if there are any questions following, welcome to see if I can answer those. As far as some background, the subject parcel is located at 234 Ridge Street in Boyne City, owned by Jeffrey Langhart and located in the traditional residential district. The property description is provided. The parcel is approximately 17,970 square feet in size, bounded by Ridge Street to the south. Property currently contains an approximate 70 by 40 non-conforming accessory building, and adjacent properties to the north, south, and east are also zoned traditional residential district and are privately owned. The property immediately west is zoned community service district, owned by the city of Boyne City and utilized as a dog park. And there is an attached map provided by staff showing the property in question. For some discussion, the traditional residential district requires a minimum 5-foot setback from the side lot line and 15 feet from the rear lot line. The existing accessory building encroaches into both the side yard to the west and rear yard to the north. The sections, I can go through these briefly, but were also included as exhibits. Section 21.36A1, accessory buildings and structures, states accessory building structures and uses are permitted only in connection with and incidental to on the same lot with a principal building, structure, or use. An accessory building, structure, or use must be in the same zoning district as the principal building, structure, use on the lot. Section 21.36A7, no accessory building shall be constructed upon or moved to any parcel of property until the principal building thereon or intended to be placed thereon is at least 2/3 completed. Section 21.36, B, any residential district, no garage shall be erected closer to the side lot line than permitted distance for the dwelling, unless the garage is completely to the rear of the dwelling, in which event the garage may be erected 3 feet from any interior side lot line. No garage portion thereof shall extend into the required front yard area. Attached garages of fireproof construction may be erected to extend beyond the front line of the house in those areas which are being developed according to a common plan that includes the construction of attached garages extended beyond the front lot line of the house, provided that such garages shall not encroach in upon the minimum front yard area as required by the ordinance. Section 26.20A, no existing structure devoted to a use not permitted by this ordinance in the district in which it locates shall be enlarged, extended, constructed, reconstructed, moved, or structurally altered, except in changing the use of the structure to a permitted use in the district in which it's located. And finally, section 26.25, no such nonconforming structure may be enlarged or altered in a way in which increases its nonconformity, but any structure or portion thereof may be altered to decrease its nonconformity. Such Should such structure be altered or modified so as to eliminate, remove, or lessen any or all of its nonconforming characteristics, then such nonconforming characteristics shall not later be reestablished or increased. The application included to the ZBA shows a request to construct a 34 by 40 addition to the southeast side of the existing nonconforming accessory building. Some other factors: the topography of the property is generally flat, sloping slightly with a gradual rise from north to south. And then additionally, a couple of applications that are related to the property. On June 4th, 2020, a lot division for parcel 15051140005010 was approved. And I included the attached memo, survey, and parcel descriptions. The parcel division created two lots as shown, a transfer parcel, which is currently vacant, and the remainder parcel, which is 234 Ridge Street, which currently contains the existing non-conforming accessory building. Additionally, on July 27, 2020, a zoning permit was approved for the construction of a single-family residence with attached garage at 230 Ridge Street, which is the transfer parcel. And I attached the zoning permit, which again was approved as zoning permit 2020-16. In summary, the applicant is requesting a variance to construct a 34 by 40 addition to an existing non-conforming accessory building. We did receive one piece of public comment, a letter of support from Haggard's Plumbing and Heating, which is also included as an exhibit. If there are any questions regarding the staff memo, I'd be happy to try and answer those. Otherwise, we do have the applicant here with us, and can turn it over that way.
Would you just delineate which one of your restrictions, if you will, in respect to setbacks and so forth, we are having to consider?
Well, it's I guess that's the reason for including a few of those sections from the zoning ordinance. It's really related to multiple at that point. I mean, it's not conforming in a few different ways with regard to encroachment into the setbacks for both the rear and side yard. Also not conforming in the fact that it is a standalone accessory structure without a principal residence, which is something that wouldn't be able to be approved today, essentially a garage without a house. And then just the expansion of a non-conforming structure. So kind of related in, I guess this is five or so different sections, but all interrelated in some way.
But in approving the lot split, did the city, in a sense, not, did the city create the nonconforming?
Well,
because I'm assuming that that building belonged to the house that's to the east originally?
Yes, correct.
So it, you know, was connected?
Well, it didn't really belong to it. There were two separate
parcels.
Yeah, two separate parcels. They had just had it together forever.
Okay.
So essentially, what happened was it was a single parcel with the accessory building, and it was then split into two parcels, and actually making it the opportunity to be a bit more conforming with the opportunity to build a home on that transfer parcel. So you know, you have that way, I guess, it gives an opportunity to be slightly more conforming with that property split. Assuming a house were to be built at a later date, yes.
We pretty much have to look at the whole project, not at these individual items or discrepancies or whatever you want to call them.
Right, just interrelated in the fact that it was the original parcel that was split, that which was approved, split, and now there's two parcels, one of which had an approved home with an attached garage, issued a zoning permit in July of this year.
Yeah.
Which still leaves the remainder parcel with the non-conforming accessory dwelling. So that part doesn't change. It's still a parcel not with a non-conforming accessory building, excuse me, not dwelling. Yes.
We don't, if the addition is approved, it doesn't make it more non-conforming.
Well, it increases,
because it doesn't move.
It increases the square footage of a non-conforming building, but the addition itself would meet setback requirements, yes. But it's
right.
Still expanding a non-conforming building because it's a standalone accessory building, and also encroaches into those setbacks, yes.
Okay. Would you care to make a presentation?
You know, I'm not, I don't really know that I actually need to make one, just other than answer some questions. I think it was pretty straightforward until I kind of got confused listening to all that stuff. But, you know, two lots. There's going to be a house with a garage on the other one. So that covers some of the requirements. But as I took a step back and I looked at this, what I wanted to build, and I sketched it out, I thought, okay, there's two problems here. The number one problem is I block all the sunshine to my neighbor behind me, Mike. I block it all, so he gets no sun from the west, which is already approved. So I don't have to be here to go build it. But I'm not going to do that to my neighbor. So then I took a step back. I said, well, how can I do this? So if I put it on the other side of the house, I don't really fix the problem. What you really need to do is just have a garage that's the appropriate size for the house you're building there, so it looks nice for the neighborhood, and put the storage building next to the building I've already got. That was really how I even came up with a solution. But right now we can build a 60-foot building 30 feet high right on his lot line. And it just doesn't look good. Around the corner they built one, and it looks, it just looks out of place. It doesn't really have the same, it doesn't create the same problem that my building does next to my lot line for Mike. So my number one reason for being here is moving the storage building, hooking on to my existing building, and just building the garage over there.
And what is the use of the building?
Storage. I don't want my trailers and boats sitting out.
You don't run any commercial?
It's nothing. It's absolutely going to be nothing but a whole building with a metal roof. No heat, nothing.
Would your neighbor care to make this statement?
Just that when he discussed what he was planning to do, I could see the downside for me in this big long garage right on our property line, basically overhanging my backyard. And, you know, I think that to keep that structure back in the corner, off, I mean, kind of tucked in there by the dog park, I too agree that it would be much more visually pleasing.
And just to be clear here, we are talking about two different parcels. The home and the garage in the zoning permit was approved on the property that was split. The existing accessory building that is proposed to be added onto is on the neighboring parcel. That is the parcel in question at this point.
Yeah, but I think it was important to understand the reason why.
Right, and that's why we included the zoning permit and the parcel division application, just to give the complete story of how we got to this point, yes.
Is any other development in that general area, which is not as developed as the rest of the city, as far as you know, seeking to be built that would create either this problem or make what you're doing be even more conforming to the neighborhood?
So I think both. Directly across the street, that property has sold and he's got it for sale. He's got a big lot,
yeah,
behind which would be directly across from the house I'm going to build.
Yeah.
And to have a great big barn and to look at that isn't exactly pleasing to the eye. I think other than that, no, I don't really think it affects them. I just, if you take a step back and you look at the overall corner and what's built there, it just makes sense to do it like that. That's just, you know, it's just another one of those things where if it gets built differently, people are going, why did they do that? That's it. It really is not self-serving. It's actually probably going to cost a little bit more to hook the storage barn to my existing barn than it is to have part of the house. But I haven't got all those calculations. I just thought this was pretty straightforward and this makes sense for the whole neighborhood.
Roger, any questions?
I'll come up with one.
Well, in the meantime, this picture, shows a lot line, like, I don't know, we'll say about 20 feet at the back of the building over the lot line. Is that really the case, or is the parcel lines not correct?
The parcel lines are not correct.
Okay. So you own the back of this other lot, or?
Just like 15 feet or whatever it is, behind the building.
Okay.
Right where the fence is.
Pat, if you look at Exhibit C, which is the lot division application, there is a survey on the attached to that that shows the location in regard to the lot lines. It'd be page 2 of Exhibit C.
Exhibit B, you said?
C.
Is this?
Yes.
Okay.
So to answer your question, yes, those parcel lines are off. That's data provided by the county, and they do have a margin of error up to 30 feet, and I think that whole block is off quite a bit.
Yes, it appears to be.
I think from the city standpoint, is there any impediment that would decrease the value or increase the amount of maintenance on the roads or whatever that granting this would entail? Is there anything from a governmental standpoint that is going to make it more cumbersome?
Not that I'm aware of. The only thing that would be required, which would have been submitted with the zoning permit, is a driveway application for the new home and or garage, depending on which way the driveway leads. But that's approved by the street superintendent, Tim Voss. And really, you're going out and looking at the curb cut if there is one, whether or not a culvert is required, those types of things. But I wouldn't say that this type of development would increase traffic to any increased use.
What about city sewer, water, gas?
I believe I looked at the water is out front, but sewer runs along Charlevoix Street, if I remember correctly.
It comes up Ridge Street about 30 feet.
Yeah. So,
blacktop ends.
Yes, so water is out front running along with Ridge Street, but the sewer runs closer to Charlevoix and then down further to the south of Lock on Court.
Natural gas available?
That I'm not sure.
It's on Charlevoix Street, yeah. But it's not a bridge. Well, there's no improvements up bridge.
You haven't got any of that for the pole barn anyway, right?
Right.
No electricity, no gas. No.
I'll put lights in there so they don't stumble during the dark.
Electricity.
Yeah, but yeah, I'll put electricity in there, but I'm not putting any heat or water in it yet.
So what we're really looking at is if Mr. White can build that pole barn in a different location on his property, and the variance he needs is because it's going to be close to the property line. Is that right?
Well, the variance would be, you're adding on to, potentially adding on to a non-conforming building. It's the addition itself would meet setback requirements, but there's no principal residence making that building non-conforming. So it's a standalone accessory structure without a residence on the lot. So you would need a variance in that respect. But the setbacks themselves, there would be no variance required there. Essentially, the addition is to an existing non-conforming structure.
Okay, but once he puts a house on there, then there will be a residence, right?
Well, again, there's two separate lots currently. So he would be putting a residence on the lot that was split, with the property split that was approved in June. So as it sits now, the zoning permit that was approved is a home with an attached garage on the property to the east.
And he owns both properties?
Correct.
So why don't they just join the two properties together and then it solves the problem?
Because you cannot have an accessory building that exceeds the square footage of the first floor of the principal residence. So if you have a 1,000 square foot house, you can have up to 1,000 square foot of accessory building. This is currently 2,800 square feet plus approximately 44 by 30, so another 1,200 or 1,300 square feet.
That's exactly what I wanted to do to begin with, Roger. That's exactly where I went with it. And then we found out.
Who came up with that rule? We need to talk to that.
I'm not sure when that was instituted, but I believe the zoning ordinance is from 2002 or so when that was adopted. So it may date that far back. I'd have to look.
It may predate that even.
It may.
Carried over from.
But yes, the square footage of the accessory building cannot exceed the square footage of the principal building. So in creating that second lot and the home with the attached garage allows for that to be built and still utilize this in its current form as kind of a grandfathered situation with the existing nonconformity. But adding on to that, again, extends that nonconformity.
So if we say okay to this proposal, and then we're violating city code.
Well, that's why the variance would be required.
That's our job, in a sense.
To violate city code?
No, okay, to determine whether or not there's a need to violate city code.
A variance, I like that. No, I don't like that word.
Well, the other part of this whole, another part of the ordinance is it still allows me, and this is a believe it or not, to build another accessory building behind the house that I have planned to build and have as a rental so somebody can live in Boyne City because we need so many places to live. I can build an accessory building up to 3 feet from the property line in both directions.
Yes.
It's like, I can what? When Patrick told me that, I go, that doesn't make any sense to me. I can put another building right there and then I can completely piss off both my neighbors. The one to the back and then the one sitting right behind me. And it's completely legal. I can go in, get a zoning permit, and build it. And then take down those gorgeous pines in the back. I'm not going to do any of that. It's just, again, I just took a step back with the whole thing and the whole property, why I couldn't do this, and said, okay, what works here? What makes sense for my neighbors? What makes sense for me? And what does it look like? Those are the three things that I used.
I have the stakes that are in the ground up there right now.
Yes.
Is that the outline of the proposed building?
Yes. I wanted to physically see what it looked like. Yes, correct.
Is there any drawback, Patrick, to us not doing this? You're taking a non-conforming situation, apparently making it no more non-conforming. You get a nice house on the property, tax values, that kind of thing. What's wrong with the proposal?
Well, the ordinance says a non-conforming use cannot expand.
Right.
To put it in a few words.
Correct. So you would be expanding the existing. You would be expanding the existing nonconformity. And as Mr. Langhard mentioned, yes, you could add an additional accessory structure again on the neighboring lot that was split with that parcel division. You could do that completely behind the home, 3 feet from the lot lines. All of that is true. Yes, but again, what we're talking about is this standalone structure on its own parcel that would be added on to. And whether or not you take into consideration that the neighboring property is also owned, it would still exceed the square footage of the home that it as it exists, plus the additional 34 by 40 adds on to that existing nonconformity, further exceeding that square footage limit.
Is there any similar situations that you're aware of in the city?
The addition to a non-conforming structure in this
parcel with a non-conforming structure, non-conforming building of this type, how's that?
I mean, there may be some others that are existing, but nothing that I've seen approved in my, 5.5 years, no.
Well, I am trying to picture in my mind, the storage building setting somewhere, but the ones that come to mind are in somebody's backyard. And I don't necessarily agree with that, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, and you're talking about taking this one, which is approximately 2,800 currently, and putting it a little over 4,000. So, again, if you have, just as an example, a 1,000 square foot home with a detached garage, that garage could be up to 1,000 square feet, no larger. So, that's essentially the situation we're in now, where, to make this conforming, you would need to add a 2,800 square foot home to equal that. And then you still wouldn't be able to add on to it because it would exceed that square footage limit. So that's really where it stands now.
However, the accessory building that I'm able to build can't be more than, if I've got this right, 40% of the square footage of the land?
No, well, that's just coverage in general. The property itself can be covered up to 40% by buildings.
Okay. So you turn around and build exactly what I'm talking about here behind the house I'm going to put up.
And again, that's where the question comes into play, because there are two lots currently. So the home and the garage would be on the separate lot, yes.
My total goal here was to just be smart about it. What works for the neighborhood and what works for my neighbors? If somebody back in the 80s would have stuck that barn another 5 feet over to the west, we'd be all set. See, I'm not sure there's any more I can add. I think you guys pretty much have the picture here.
The house to be built is going to be your principal residence?
No.
Not at all. You're just going to build it?
Yep. I'm going to rent it.
Yeah.
Get a family in it.
And that zoning permit for the home that was approved is Exhibit F, I believe. Oh, no, excuse me. That's incorrect. Exhibit D. And that does show the parcel and the layout that was approved in July of this year.
But that will have to be amended just to show a small project.
So in the future, if you were to sell that parcel that you, if you could build a structure on there, then you would have a piece of property with no home and a structure, right?
That's as it is currently as well.
Yes, current, yeah, same as it is now, I believe.
That's something they must have got from the state of Michigan. You can't build a pole barn anywhere for storage unless you have a residence?
In residential districts, right, there's no accessory structure without a principal. So that's another piece of the nonconformity is just the fact that it is a standalone accessory structure with no principal residence.
Well, it was attached to a principal.
Yeah, I mean, to the house at the corner one time. But I didn't expect to come in here and go, okay, here's the rules and I just want to add storage to my building. I said, okay, well, let me build a house. Let me look at all the rules. And if I'm sitting in one of those seats, what do I want to see? I want to see somebody doing what is right for the property, trying to abide by the rules that aren't set up the best in this condition. I guess, really, right? And to your point, Pat, about setting up a variance. It's going to be white. It's going to look just like it is.
And it's not just in the city. At one point, I was looking at, I knew I couldn't build a storage building, if you will, in the city. So I talked to a couple of realtors about in the townships.
Right.
And they said that generally the townships won't allow you to build an accessory building without a residence either.
Okay. And you get that, right? I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. It does in a way, and another way it doesn't.
That's right.
You know? So.
Yeah, because some of these guys build 40 and 50 storage sheds.
Yeah.
And there's no property, and there's no house there at all.
But that's probably on a piece of property that's been zoned commercial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or some
likely
takeoff of commercial.
Or some zoning board approved it.
Yeah. Any other questions? We'll close the public hearing. Any discussion among the board?
No, just have you read these findings of fact that you have to meet before we can approve it? Mm-hmm. You didn't find any problem there, huh?
Patrick and I pretty much went through everything.
I guess I got a question for Patrick in reference to the ordinance sections on non-conforming uses, should they be rolled into the findings of fact also?
They certainly could be, even as the exhibit that's presented or individually, sure.
Well, I guess I'm asking, in a sense, as a paper trail?
I mean, it would certainly be appropriate if that was the board's pleasure, yes. You could include those.
Any comment from you gentlemen?
Patrick, just summarize how you would word a motion to approve. This has got a lot of merit, a lot of extraneous material in it.
I think a motion to approve would need to include the findings of fact as well, as we typically would. Looking at a kind of a couple of the different angles as far as approving a expansion of an existing non-conforming structure, something to that effect, I think would need to be included, taking into account I would need to reference the section, but the fact that the square footage, the footprint would exceed the principal residence as well, something to that effect, just basically taking into account those individual sections of the ordinance, I think would be appropriate in making that motion. Again, somewhat of a paper trail, but just kind of individually listing those sections and moving through the findings of fact as we normally would.
Is there some stipulation in that the house has to be built before the pole barn can be built?
That would be true if the pole barn weren't there currently. But as the zoning permit shows that there is a home with an attached garage proposed to be built on the neighboring parcel, in that situation, they could be built concurrently, but you, again, would not be able to just have the garage as a standalone. They would have to be either built concurrently, or I believe the zoning ordinance references a two-thirds completion before you can complete the accessory portion. So,
makes sense.
Are we ready to try the findings of fact?
Can we come up with a statement of what we're finding fact for?
Well, we back it as the request for the variance, and then if we get through the findings of fact, then we can make a motion to either approve or not approve the request.
I
findings are located in Exhibit F.
Before I get to reading them, I guess, items 11 and 12 in the findings of fact are really not pertinent as to this, is it?
Only in the fact that the existing accessory structure encroaches into both the side and rear lot line, or side and rear setback. To the west and to the north.
Yeah, I understand that, but I don't know, I guess.
Is in fact individual effect?
Yeah. But I guess I'll read the general findings of fact. The property is owned by Jeffrey Lankart, and it's got a property ID number. The property is in a traditional residential district. Access to the property is provided by Ridge Street, which is a public road that bounds the south side of the parcel. Adjacent properties to the north, south, and east are zoned traditional residential district. The property is the adjacent property to the west is zoned community service district. And I guess I would add to that, it is currently being used as a dog park. The property is not irregularly shaped. The topography of the property is generally flat, sloping slightly with gradual rise from north to south. The property is approximately 17,970 square foot in size. The minimum lot area in a TRD is 5,445 square foot. The TRD requires a minimum 5 foot setback from the side lot line. The TRD requires a minimum 15 foot setback from the rear lot line. And that item 12 is missing the word setback. Roger Bob, is there anything else you'd like to add to the general findings of fact?
No, I'm okay with that.
Okay, then moving on to findings of fact under section 24.8, non-use variances. In hearing and deciding appeals for variances, the board shall adhere to the following criteria in determining whether or not practical difficulties and or unnecessary hardships exist. Requiring the owner to comply with regulations governing areas, setback, frontage, height, bulk, density, and or other non-use requirements would unreasonably prevent the owner from using the property for a permitted purpose or would render conformity to such regulations unnecessarily burdensome.
What's the downside to any of this? It's not necessarily controversial, but it's not common either. If we're to do this, what precedent does it set? What's the downside? What's the neighborhood?
Well, I think, you know, as we had stated before, that expansion to the nonconformity itself with regard to the amount of square footage, you know, certainly you would be, again, if this were as it is, if you were to approve the request, so essentially making a 4,000 plus square foot storage building, to make that conforming, you would need a 4,000 square foot plus home.
Right.
Which, you know, if someone were coming in with a completely blank slate today and said, I wanted a 4,000 square foot storage building, that would be the requirement. You would need to have at minimum that size home. So you would, you know, something in I guess, in that vein. And then also taking into effect just the expansion of a nonconformity in general, and then what the hardship there might be.
But those are inherited items. They're not caused by this transaction.
Well, the ordinance is quite plain in the one of those two sections that says you're not to allow expansion of a nonconforming use.
I guess the one precedent that it may set is the fact that you would have, as is currently approved, the zoning permit on the neighboring parcel with a home and attached garage, which would be, you know, relatively straightforward. That's approved administratively as it was, currently. When you're taking into account, again, that the expansion of that nonconformity in comparison to the straightforwardness of that zoning permit that was approved, you know, it's kind of two separate areas, one requiring the variance in the ZBA public hearing, one that's able to be approved administratively really throughout that zoning district, anywhere in the traditional residential district, assuming you meet those, you know, general requirements, setbacks on height, that type of thing, as this zoning permit does. It's a very straightforward approval process.
This parcel was never part of the house that is now there, in a sense that building should never have been built. Is that correct?
This building as it sits currently would not be approvable today without a variance.
Well, but even back, we'll say 20 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever.
It was 88, because of my records.
I don't think it could have been approved back then.
That I'm not sure of, and I'm not completely familiar with what the historic, where the home was located in comparison to the barn as it sits today, I don't know. And the approval behind that, I'm not sure of.
That was attached to those four lots. That was attached to my residence, right?
Oh.
Approximately 6 years ago, the city allowed that to split. And I guess, to your point earlier, kind of created a nonconformity.
Okay. So originally the barn belonged to you or whoever owned the property?
Yes,
at the time.
Prior owner. Yeah. It's four lots, house, garage, barn.
And all four lots were owned by the same people at
yes,
that site?
Yes, Eugene and Rudy Belford.
Okay.
And when it was put up for sale, it was put up for sale as one piece, because it must have been way, way back in the day, and I mean a long time ago, the Belfords were just paying it all as one. Right, when taxes came due, they didn't even realize there were two property identification numbers to the property.
Okay, getting back to the findings of fact, how do we answer number one?
Regulations don't make it unnecessary and burdensome. Unfortunately.
guess I can go along with Roger's explanation.
Unless there's something that doesn't matter.
Bob, do you have an objection?
No.
Okay.
It's accurate.
Did you catch that, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Second, finding a fact, the variance granted is the smallest variance necessary to do substantial justice to the owner as well as other property owners.
Is that okay, that one?
I guess, you know, I would say the neighborhood is pretty much underdeveloped, and anybody choosing to go there later could see what they're getting. It's not going to be a surprise to them. So, in considering the size of the lot, I don't see the square footage of the addition to be, you know, making it humongous. There's a good word for you. Anything else on two? Three, the variance can be granted in such a fashion that the spirit of the ordinance will be observed and public safety and welfare secured.
I'd say okay.
Indefinitely, the revised property would not be any more impacting the public safety or welfare than the currently as it stands. The need for the variance is not self-created. I guess I can say that when that parcel was originally split off from the parcel owned by the Belfords is when it was created. So Langhart,
yep.
Is, you know, did not create it. Any disagreement? And the need for the variance is due to the unique circumstances of the property itself, is not due to general conditions in the area or circumstances related to the property owner personally or others residing on the property. And
no problem.
How will this affect future developments around that? I'm not trying to be real esoteric, but this is a big decision, I would think, based on just the square footage, I suppose. What's going to happen in the neighborhood, do you envision?
So, I put myself in the neighbor's lot that he's got for sale, right? And I don't know him. And I thought, if I'm standing and I want to buy this, and I look across the street, in and out of my house every day, and I see that small house with this oversized garage hooked to it, I'm thinking, is this really where I want to live? Nothing else is affected. We obviously know it's affected by Mike's house. And we've got the dog park, and we have the foster care home across the street. There's one piece of property that's affected, and
everything else is set.
Everything else is set.
Yeah, I can't split mine. It's where it is.
If we choose to grant a variance, at some point somebody attempted to build a berm in front of the building, or at least that's what I would call it. We planted some cedar trees or spruce trees. We could make a part of the approval that the berm has to be built tall enough so you can't see the building from the street when you're in front of it, or that the trees have to be, you know, increased in density, if you will.
Again, all part of the plan, right?
So
I only want to do things that I would want done to me or not done to me. It just isn't even any more complicated than that. I look around and I, You know where I live? Three doors down, the property sold, and the guy's putting up an 11-bedroom hotel, and he's going to rent it. And the beach has gone freaking crazy. Well, the ordinance wasn't there. He was smart enough to look at it and say, this is what I'm going to do. So I think it's very unfair and selfish. But the guy is all about money, and again, that's not what this is about.
Somebody care to make a motion? Or if there's not any other discussion, somebody care to make a motion?
I'll make the motion. I think what you're doing is very reasonable for the set of circumstances that you find, and probably, if anything, takes a, what could be harmful to the neighborhood, it at least makes it no worse. That's this clumsy way to do business, I guess, but that's where we find the problem.
Yeah, I agree.
So the motion was to approve the request for variance?
Correct.
I'll second it. I guess I would like to add to that the property should be screened with a berm and or trees as necessary to generally obstruct a view from Ridge Street.
How do you enforce that?
Any objection about it?
How is it enforced, Patrick?
That would move along with the motion and the approval once a zoning permit was issued. That would be required. To ride along with the variance request.
I mean, I have trees there now.
Yeah,
and a berm.
But I guess I'd say I'd like to see it a little more workmanlike, if you will.
And you're basing this, Bob, on findings of fact?
Yes. Roll call, please, Pat. I've
got to find my sheet. Carlisle.
Yes.
Kubish.
Yes, with reservations.
Reynolds.
Yes.
Motion carries.
You gentlemen could leave, as we've got a bunch of housekeeping type things to take care of, if you'd like.
Does this dog park interfering with your bulldog?
No. It's actually, I thought maybe when we moved in there, it would be a bit of a distraction, a bit noisy, but you don't notice it. It's really...
Yeah, little trees getting really big and you won't even notice it.
There's a little more traffic than what you probably would have. Uh-huh.
Since they got online, just send a bulldog after them.
There you go.
You know, probably going to the next item of business is the Bob's term expired September 1st.
Uh-oh.
So we probably...
Well,
this was probably an illegal meeting.
Well, assuming that Bob would like to continue to serve, that motion of approval is a recommendation to the City Council anyway. So, you know, in past practice, we've continued to work that, assuming that there's going to be no objection at City Council, which I would not anticipate. City Commission, excuse me.
That's fine. I'll certainly be glad to indicate my willingness to proceed.
That being the case, I'll make a motion that ZBA recommend to City Council to reappoint Bob.
Second.
All in favor indicated by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign.
2 years and three, Pat.
Three.
I want to be sure I live that long.
You will.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And the next item of business is the...
Thank you.
Pat needs to change the heading on it. It's not the 2020 calendar, it's a 2021 calendar.
Well, I only attached the rest of 2020, but we could certainly look at approving, as typical, the first Tuesday of each month into 2021. I have no issue with that.
Okay.
Are there any July 4th, Labor Day kind of holidays?
What I did notice for 2020 specifically was just the fact that next month would be the first Tuesday is election day, so that would be bumped a week, as is typical, to the 10th. But through that, I'd have to look ahead to 2021, but we can certainly do that. And we can move those as necessary.
Yeah, we've done it.
Yes. If they do fall, they would just get bumped a week. But I can send a new calendar later this week.
Okay. The first Tuesday in July of next year is the 6th.
So
that's not going to...
The day after.
And then
the first Tuesday in September is the day after Labor Day. So November is nothing.
We can play by year if it's necessary.
Yeah, there isn't anything obstructing any holidays or anything like that.
Okay. How about my birthday?
I don't have your birthday in my calendar.
December 10th, just so you know.
December 10th, Roger's birthday.
3 years old.
No.
Yes.
Seriously? Well, you don't look 83.
May the Lord take care of me.
Okay.
This is not a particularly young board.
You know it.
Well, you're 83, I'm 76. I Bob's in that neighborhood, I would guess.
79, hand of the month.
He's got a kid. So do we need a motion to approve the calendar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 20 and 21 I think would be great, and we can keep moving. Yeah.
Okay, so moved.
Second.
All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And officer elections, would you like to keep the same slate or propose something new?
All right. We keep the same slate.
Same old.
Okay.
Do we need to vote on that?
We do.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay. This gentleman here is Robert Wirk.
White.
Yep. Okay. And he has shown an interest in joining this illustrious board.
Albeit a while back, we had an application dated December of 18, but I did reach out to Mr. Weick, and he mentioned that he may be interested, currently serves on the Parks and Rec Commission, and I did consult with the city attorney just in case that would be a conflict. ZBA sometimes is a little touchy. There is no conflict with serving on both, so assuming you do have that interest, that's why I invited Mr. Weick tonight.
No, I'd be very interested.
You didn't get scared off by today's conversation?
No, not at all. Actually, I found it kind of refreshing and enjoyable. But.
Any other questions?
You motion to refer to the commission?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. I'll second.
Pat, the meeting dates, is it the first Tuesday or the first Tuesday after the first Monday?
The first Tuesday.
Period.
Yep. No, we're not like the elections, which is after the first Monday, which is, yeah.
Okay, all in favor of recommending Mr. White to City Commission to be a proof of the ZBA, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign.
And to be clear, that would fill Monica Ross's term, which ends September of next year. But then, you know, assuming you'd like to stay on, we can reappoint at that time.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
It's a good group.
Thank you for your comment. Appreciate it.
You know, we're going to buy dinner now, right?
Nobody is going to have to, both Bob and Robert. You go by Robert or Bob?
Just Rob.
Okay. Rob. We're going to have to swing by City Hall so I can swear you in. So we'll have to wait until after the City Commission.
We can get that to him this Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we should be able to...
A week from today.
Yep, the next City Commission meeting.
Put that on their agenda. So
October 13th.
Next Wednesday, if you'd like to come. Anytime late next week, really.
Late, yeah. I'm actually traveling next week.
Okay, whatever.
Week after that. Before our next
meeting. Yeah, before the meeting, preferably. Yeah.
Very good, no problem.
And so, in the last couple of years... I don't know, we've only met a couple, three times a year, it seems.
Yeah.
Prior to that, we used to meet pretty regularly.
It comes and fits. I've been here a little over 5 years, and sometimes we have, you know, 8-10 meetings a year. Sometimes this is the first one in 2020. So, although 2020 has been a little different.
Yeah.
Well, so, it depends.
Well,
in Parks and Rec, we had several meetings that because of COVID, we passed on. And then we started doing some Zoom meetings, mm-hmm. and then now we've gotten into, you know, Thursday, we're meeting on the Bad Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
Motion for a time limit?
You've been here, what, 1/6 of the time that Pat's been here?
Oh, maybe, yeah.
How many years, Pat?
Over 40.
Oh my gosh. That's older than Methuselah.
Almost.
I started sometime in the middle 70s.
Woo!
So.
That's
did you know
that's
Catherine
just... Oh, no.
Did I know?
Well, either of you.
Who was
it? I'm
81. Just, anyway, she was...
I graduated high school before you were born.
Really?
And she was on city council.
I graduated college when you were born.
New Year's Eve.
For a while,
New
I sat on both 81. ZBA and planning.
So you just made that tax deduction.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, it got to the point where I was working mostly second shift, and I had to take vacation time to come to the meeting, and it got old after a while, so I got off planning. And then they asked me to come back on for a few months, and so
here you are.
And I've been on ZBA ever since, and I've been chair for a
long time.
Yes. Walt Coyle was previous chair, and Bill Stanley's first wife was city commissioner, and she came to all the ZBA meetings, and she always was expressing her opinion, and Walt one night told her, "Madam Commissioner, you're out of line." And at that point, that same meeting, his term is expired. And we recommended him to city council. And he was not reappointed to ZBA.
Oh, wow.
So, anyway, I think we're done.
Okay.
I got him. Meeting's adjourned.
Okay.
What was the name of the gentleman?